Welcome to the Azure Podcast, a series of short discussions on various topics related to the Microsoft Cloud Platform. Your hosts, Kendall Roden, Cynthia Krang, Kale Teeter, Evan Basilik, Russell Young, and Sajid DeMello discuss a specific topic on each show to give you a high-level overview of that topic and resources to get more information should you wish to dig further. For more information on our show, please visit our website at azpodcast.com.
Well, welcome back to the Azure Podcast. This is episode number 239, being recorded on the 25th of July, 2018, with special guest Michelle Nurali. I'm Sajid, and on Skype with me, I have, of course, Cynthia, Evan, and our special guest, and we'll get started with Michelle in just a minute. But before that, let's do a quick roundup of the Azure space. What's new in there? I noticed there's a few updates that we want to talk about.
Yeah, sure. This is Evan. I mean, I'll jump in on the SQL issue like normal. But the SQL Operations Studio, right, that's kind of our multi-platform equivalent to Management Studio, right, which has been around for, I don't remember how many years now. Now it's got the ability to look at jobs and alerts and just, you know, kind of some other typical management stuff within the SQL Server world. And this is, you know, it wouldn't surprise me to see it more and more stuff here, but this is definitely about making it easier to do cross-platform management of your, what is these days, cross-platform SQL Server.
Indeed, yes, it's amazing. SQL Server on non-Windows platforms.
I'm still in shock even after a year now. So,
what about you, Cynthia? Anything you like?
Yeah, so I actually saw there's resources for free courses on KQL, which is the query language that is used in App Insights and not log analytics. I had the opportunity to use it for the first time, but without really knowing all the specifics for the query language, it wasn't the easiest thing to use unless there's someone else there to tell you or to teach you how to use it. Right. So we're probably going to include the link inside the show notes that I think there's a lot of really cool free resources that will help you. And the other thing was around Visual Studio IntelliCode. So Python support in VS Code is now in public preview. What IntelliCode is essentially a AI-assisted tool that should improve developer productivity, that when you type in something, it's going to try and autocomplete for you. And it first started off with just Scrap, so Python is in public preview as well.
This sounds real. Like I when I read this the first time, I didn't really grasp the difference between this and typical IntelliSense. But it sounds like, right, it we're actually getting smart enough so the list of autocomplete, which, I don't know, a number of years ago switched to the most common, is now going to be the most common for your language for you, right? Which, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, and I didn't know that the way they trained it was to go over like 2,000 different repos to train for Python. So I'm guessing they probably do, like, as you say, the language specific, and then as time progresses, it also learns about how you use it.
Right. Yeah, no, that's pretty cool.
Artificial intelligence is everywhere, I tell you.
Except in the podcast, right? We're the same old people.
There'll only a time. It won't be long before there'll be like an automated robot over here. We'll have to wait for that. You mentioned about Linux, and I think we all know that PowerShell has debuted on Linux, the PowerShell Core, which is a cross-platform version of PowerShell, which has become very popular. I know my client is actually switching from the regular PowerShell to PowerShell Core, just so that they can have the same PowerShell running, say on Windows or their Linux workloads on Kubernetes or other platforms. So right now that's available as an Ubuntu Snap package, and that's one of the package systems that's available on Ubuntu. I guess you can. Yeah, I know it's been available in the past on for using Yum or RPM, but it's now available, or apt-get for that matter. I think they have Snap as well. So it's good to see that it's making its way around all the packaging tools. What else? Anything else that we want to talk about before we get started with our special guests?
No, although the only thing I will say, and we may come back around to this when we talk about the Kubernetes stuff, but when I was looking on the PowerShell Snap stuff, isn't that basically running in essence a container?
The package, the source the of the package?
Well, no, when they say the snaps, right? Snaps right. is a very specific thing for these Linux distros where it's basically running in a compartmentalized environment. It almost, when I was reading about it, it almost really sounds like it might be doing almost the equivalent to a container under the covers.
It could be, yeah. They try to keep it compressed. I don't know. Michelle, do you know anything about snaps?
I can't say I do, no.
Okay, all right. Just wondering if that's something that, you know, they also deal with when you package some of your other tools that we're going to talk about soon. But yeah, okay, that's good. So well, let's get started then with our special guest, Michelle Nurali. And Michelle, thank you very much for coming on the show. I know we tried a couple of times before, but you're a busy person traveling all over the world, doing all sorts of cool things. We hope to get some insights on some of that from you today. So why don't you tell everyone what you do at Microsoft, who you are, and what your passion is, and we can take it from there.
Yeah, sure. My name is Michelle. Thank you so much for having me. I am a software engineer at Microsoft under the Azure org, and I work on container tools, mainly around Kubernetes, that focus on making containers and Kubernetes easier to use. Most of the work I do, actually all of the work I do, is open source. So very excited to be here and to talk about those things.
So Michelle, this is Evan. So I just want to make sure I heard that right. So you're here at Microsoft.
Yeah.
You're focused on making containers and Kubernetes better, and everything you do is open source.
Yes.
You're sure that you work for us?
Yes. Yes, absolutely. And it's been a really pleasant experience. It's been a little over a year. And I just had a really good time. It seems like people here really get the open source thing and have been super supportive. I've had a lot of people come up to me and give me a lot of positive reinforcement, positive encouragement. So super happy here.
Yeah, great to have you.
So give us a flavor for, what your daily interaction is, like what kind of work you do on a daily basis, what tools do you work on, and how might people leverage some of those tools?
Absolutely, yeah. So one of the, I think, most popular tools that I work on is called Helm, which is a package manager for Kubernetes. So in Kubernetes, to deploy an application, you might have to define one or more Kubernetes resource types. So in Kubernetes, if you want to run a container, that container, your application container, runs in a pod, which may be managed by Kubernetes deployment. And you kind of have to figure out how to architect like your application for Kubernetes. And so Helm allows you to install and define all those resources, template those resources, install them into your cluster, and then manage the lifecycle of your application as it relates to the Kubernetes resources in the running in your cluster all in one piece. So you can Helm install to install your application. Maybe that's a WordPress blog. Maybe it's something more complex. And then you can upgrade that application and you can delete it. You can define that application and all of the components in something in a package format we call a chart. And then you can also share that with the rest of your team. The chart format and charts have become really popular. We just became an official top level incubating project in the Cloud Native Computing Foundation.
What does that mean?
Yeah, okay, that's a great question. So Helm grew up as a Kubernetes sub-project. It was in the Kubernetes org and all that, but the CNCF, the Cloud Native Computing Foundation, is this foundation that works towards moving this whole cloud native space and ecosystem forward. So you know, like Kubernetes is worked on by Google, Red Hat, Microsoft, and like a whole host of other companies. And so CNCF is like this vendor neutral place that can house projects like Kubernetes and Helm and other projects so that you can have this this space to kind of come and collaborate together. They also put on some really great conferences. So KubeCon, which is the Kubernetes conference that happens twice a year, is put on by them. And they also put on other like meetups and events as well. So
let me dig into that a little bit. So when you say cloud native, to me that gives the impression that these are apps that have to run in the cloud. Is that like, what do you mean by cloud native? Why native?
That's also a good question, I think. What that mainly means is, or what to focus on is really portability. So it's cloud native just means it means a lot of different things, but it's like your application, or these tools can not only be run in the cloud, but on bare metal. It doesn't really just have to be on the cloud, but it's portable. So yeah.
I see. So you could take it on AWS or Azure or any cloud, or on your own cloud in your own data center if you so choose.
Absolutely.
Got it. Okay. That makes sense. So you were saying about, you were talking about some of the work, the one of the tools that you had built. How do you see customers using Helm, for example, these days? What are you hearing from them?
It's being used in a lot of different ways, but mainly the idea here is to just make it easier to manage your applications on Kubernetes, easier to deploy and delete them. What we've been hearing from people that use it is that it's just made, I think one of the proudest things actually, or the proudest things for me, is that it makes it easier to onboard onto Kubernetes. So for example, like when you're learning how to do stuff with Kubernetes, you know, the end goal is to really deploy and manage your applications, manage your containerized applications. And so instead of having to learn everything from the ground up, a user can come in, grab a chart, and then, you know, install Helm onto their machine and run a Helm init command, which initializes everything. And then they can just install their chart, and that gives them something running in their cluster for them to play with and like learn more about. So that's definitely one thing. And then of course, like ops teams and DevOps teams, application operator teams are really using it to manage those applications.
Okay. I know when I did the Helm init recently, it deployed something called Tiller in the clusters. So can you tell us a little more about that?
Yes. Tiller is Helm's server-side component. So basically what Tiller does is that it takes in a chart. It renders the manifests that are defined in your chart, so Kubernetes manifest or how you define Kubernetes resources, and then it installs them in your cluster, and it saves some of that information about the applications that you've installed in your cluster, so you can then query it. And so that's mainly its job. It just renders and deploys those Kubernetes objects, Kubernetes resources.
So it sounds very similar to like a package manager for your code.
Yeah.
This is a package manager for your deployment.
Exactly. Yeah, a lot like Homebrew, Apt, Debian. Yeah.
Yep. Okay.
Yeah. So Helm is one of the projects. The other project that we've been working on is called Draft. That's like a higher level tool that's built on top of Helm and Helm charts. And the idea there is that, you know, if you're a developer and you're working on some code and you want, like, you kind of repeat the same steps. So you have an application, you want to containerize that application. You may do a Docker build to build your image, and then you push that image somewhere to a registry, and then you'll want to reference that image in one of your Kubernetes manifests and or Helm charts, and then deploy that to Kubernetes. And so what we were finding was that we were repeating these steps over and over and over again. So we built Draft, which is like a tool that a developer can use who wants to see their and iterate on their application in their cluster. That's the other one. And then Brigade is the final one that my team works on. That's basically for people to build pipelines in Kubernetes. So you may have something like a CI/CD pipeline, or you may have something that you want to run, like a series of steps you want to run in your Kubernetes cluster. And you may not want to have to figure out how to do that all in the Kubernetes YAML format. And so we built Brigade, which allows you to basically script a bunch of containers to build and deploy a pipeline in Kubernetes. But you can script your containers using JavaScript instead of having to learn all the Kubernetes specifics. So that's a high level. Yeah.
So is Brigade a developer tool or an operations tool then?
That's a really good question. I think it depends on the use case. So if you're building a CI/CD pipeline, you might be more of the operator type, but you might also be doing something like, you know, crunching, doing maybe some data science stuff, or like some ETL type stuff.
Got it.
You may
Got it. Email something that requires multiple workflow steps or something like that.
Exactly.
Okay.
And then in addition to those projects, I also sit on the Kubernetes steering committee. So my day-to-day can look really different. It might be like developing on one of these projects, or it might be sitting in meetings and kind of making sure that that you know we are creating and maintaining a healthy Kubernetes ecosystem and Kubernetes community. And so I've been working on building a code of conduct committee for the Kubernetes community, and a few other things like figuring out, you know, how to define charters for special interest groups in the Kubernetes community, which is how we organize ourselves. Mm. Lots of different things.
So, you know, I wanted to ask you a question about the Helm, because that's something that's very useful, I think, for customers that are adopting, say, AKS or Kubernetes. What's the best way for an enterprise customer to create some sort of like an enterprise level repository for Helm, right? For Helm charts, for example. I mean, I know one way is just create a Helm in it, but that creates one in your local cluster, right? Suppose you want to have a shared repository that everybody in the company uses, which is, I suppose, a good use case, right, for Helm, where you share it across the entire company. So how might one set that up? What would be the way to set that up there?
Yeah. So a chart repository, it can be like hosted on any web server. So you can build your own if you wanted. You can host it on like Azure Blob Store or any other blob store type place. You can host it on GitHub. I think the only thing that is really required is that at the top level, at the root of your chart repository, you have to have an index.yaml file, which is some metadata about all the charts. And it also gives you URLs to where the charts live, and some keywords like the name, version, everything that's in your actual chart repository. So there's very few like constraints in creating a chart repository, and you can host it wherever you want. There's also places like JFrog and some other places where you can buy like a hosted solution as well.
Oh, okay. So then that would be like an enterprise, like something that like a not like a GitHub, but NuGet, right? I think we use NuGet packaging sometimes. So where you have a paid service to host your packages. Is that what you're suggesting?
Yeah.
Okay, great. And then subsequently on the draft side, which obviously seems like more of a developer tool, what's the, like, do we see something plugging into Visual Studio Code or Visual Studio? Is there any kind of, you know, interaction there or connection there?
Yeah, absolutely. So there is a draft plugin for Visual Studio Code. So you can actually use draft in your IDE, in your VS Code, which is really cool. And you can like debug containers, like running containers from within that, which is pretty cool. Wow. There's like a demo somewhere I can point you to.
That's great. Yeah. And I know all these tools that you talked about, I believe are they all still written in Go or Golang, however you say that?
Yeah, these are all written in Go. My team who works on these tools is also looking into Rust. We've been like exploring other options for languages as well, but they're all right now written in Go. Oh, another plugin to look at, by the way, for VS Code is the Kubernetes plugin, which is so incredible. I don't know. Have you had a chance to take a look at that?
No, this sounds cool, though.
Oh, my gosh. I love that. There is someone on my team who works on it, and he like just joined our team. He was working on it before he joined our team. But this guy named Ivan works on it, and it is so cool. So you install this plugin to VS Code, and then you can see the pods and containers that are running in your Kubernetes cluster from within your IDE. You can switch clusters if you want, and you can get a shell into your container right from your IDE and run commands in your container. Like, I think it's
wow. So I don't have to keep typing kubectl commands every 2 seconds?
Exactly.
Oh, my God.
I always have to like go back in my history to like remember all of those commands, especially to get a shell into my container. It's just, it becomes really lengthy. I'm sure you're familiar.
Yes. Oh, that's great to know. Thank you for sharing that. Awesome. So what are some of the, tell us something, I don't know, I don't want to dominate the conversation, guys. Cynthia, Gavin, you have anything for Michelle? I have some questions for her as well.
Okay, so I have a more beginner's question. So as a new developer that just started with Kubernetes, how would this developer navigate through all the tools that is available? Because I think you just talked about a number of them, like how would someone start and how would they really take advantage of the tools that best fits their needs?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think the best place probably to start is Helm. Helm has the like most documentation and the most like examples. It's also a good in between, like say you're just starting out. The reality of it is if you're just starting out in Kubernetes, there's not a way to just not know anything about Kubernetes. You're going to want to know some stuff. You just don't want to learn like everything. And so Helm allows you to get kind of like not have to start from scratch, but also get insight into what happened. And so you can get some experience with Kubernetes and you can get some experience and actually get something done in terms of like deploying an application that works and be able to understand all the pieces. So that's a good place to start, I think. Then it depends on what you're more interested in, right? So if you're more interested in Kubernetes and kind of lower level things, then you can go that way. If you're more interested in writing business logic and working on your applications, then you can move upwards and go to draft. And then that'll just like streamline the process of what it'll actually do is it'll streamline the process of building your container image, deploying it, and building out and deploying that Helm chart for you. So draft, if you like run a draft create in your application code directory, what happens is that you get like a Helm chart and a Docker file that you can start with and then you can build on. So if you're a developer more interested in that, you can go that direction. Does that help?
No. Yes, definitely.
Yeah, so I was going to just ask, like, Michelle, what are the plans that you guys have for these tools? Like, I've used some of them just, you know, briefly, and they all do what they say they're supposed to do very well. What's in store for these tools in the future?
Okay, yeah, that's a great question. We're so busy right now trying to figure out next steps for each of these tools. I think on the horizon immediately is there's a major version coming up for Helm. So the community has designed this the next version of Helm. There's a proposal in our community repo, and that's what we've been kind of hard at work on. So Tiller, the server side component that we were talking about earlier, is not going to exist in Helm v3, and we're just gonna do everything client side. So that's the
That's a big one. Yeah.
Yeah. And Brigade has been picking up quite a bit. We're working really hard on going towards like a 1.0 milestone. And same with Drafts. Draft has, you know, we've been seeing more momentum like in the issue queue and more users. Like I think people came up to me at KubeCon and they were just like, yeah, I'm using Draft 0.8 and we're at like 0.15 right now. And I was like, oh my gosh, we have changed like everything. And they were like, this works for us. So we're just going to keep using it. So the thing is that users really, what we've also heard is that people want a 1.0 so they know that things aren't going to just change from under the hood. So, we're trying to work towards that 1.0 milestone for stability. And so that people who are in more of those enterprise situations can also take advantage of these tools, and have something, to work with.
Awesome. And this last thing I'll ask is, you know, from enterprise perspective, the question always comes is, you know, how do I get support for these tools, right? If an enterprise decides to adopt them, I know there's obviously the community support, but are there any avenues? Are you guys planning for any more structured support program for these tools, or is it still always going to be through the community?
That's a really good question. Right now, we're just doing everything through the community. So the Slack channels, the GitHub issues. We also have these conferences now, like we had our first Helm Summit this past February. So that's kind of where we're going more towards, just really focusing on being open source and doing open source development and support well.
Okay. Well, that's a lot of information. Thank you so much, Michelle. Appreciate you sharing all those insights. Anything else from Michelle before we let it go?
If you're interested in submitting to KubeCon, I think the CFPs are still open for Seattle. KubeCon Seattle is in December. KubeCon Shanghai is in November. So if you're interested, those are really great events to go to and submit to.
Awesome. Thank you. Well, thanks so much for coming on, Michelle. Appreciate all those tips.
Appreciate you having me.
Yep.
Have a nice day.
Bye.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the show. If you have any comments or questions, please use our Twitter handle at Azure Podcast. Background music has been taken from ccmixter.org under the Creative Commons license. Thank you, and see you next time.